into teams of warriors. Gladiators. Battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Golden Point. My name is JC and I'm here with my colleague Mac.
Hey there.
This week on the show, we have a look at the week gone in the roundup, discuss our fans' verdicts, play 60 seconds of trivia, we have an interview with Panthers half Jamie Soward, we'll look at the week ahead in question time, and then finish things off with our newest game, Who Am I? So let's kick things off with the roundup.
Alright, so we're going to start off with the quote of the week, and we have Big Mal responding to Phil Gould by saying, "Phil hasn't played test match footy before." This is of course in response to Phil's comments of, "We're kidding ourselves about winning the World Cup if it's the best we can produce." Pretty like, you know, bold statements from both guys. They're very influential people in the NRL community. I think Mal went a bit personal with it, but I think he wasn't out of line. I think Gus should, I guess, learn his place a little bit.
Yeah, I think everyone gets a little bit sick of Gus Gould's comments in commentary.
Yeah.
He's obviously a very smart guy and he's a great football brain, but occasionally he just needs to quieten down a little bit. I think it was Melbourne's first game. The Australian team had, I think, two sessions together to practice. What's he expect? Does he expect them to drop Cooper Cronk and Cameron Smith and Greg Inglis? Like, what's he saying? Yeah, it was silly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I think the Australian team does need a bit of a fresh look to it, but I mean, you can't base it off that game.
Yeah, exactly. It was a dour event,
yeah,
regardless.
So, next up is Thumbs Up. We've gone with the Gillaroos versus the Kiwi Ferns. Personally, I thought it was the game of the round. It was tough. It was an exciting battle. And yeah, it was great to watch. And I hope we got to see a lot more of those matches in the future.
Absolutely, yeah. There was more skill in that match than I saw in probably any other match of the round. Those cut-out passes, the hits, the tries, were just, everything was sensational about it.
Yeah, I think you see a different form of football, and it's an exciting one. I think it was Sturlow over the weekend said that it was a bit of a throwback to the old days when they used to throw the ball around a little bit more. And it was great to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we have the Thumbs Down. So, don't like to be negative, but we have to be. The Parramatta board is what we've gone with. It's, you know, week two in the big scandal of the salary cap, and they aren't moving forward. If anything, they're hindering the whole process. They have, this week is the week they need to really get cap compliant to start earning points, to really be a chance to, you know, try and make the finals again, even though the odds are against them. And they don't really seem to be moving it. We obviously, you know, I've heard this week about Pete's being shopped around, which again is just a bizarre move, but I guess, you know, you need to cut money, and if he's someone that's willing to go, then that's good. You know, they're talking about Watmo, but there doesn't seem to be the urgency. They seem to be covering themselves a lot more than they're trying to actually protect the club.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like a selfish move from them. They just need to get out of there and let the club move on.
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay, and the last one in the roundup, it's a big week four. We've got Laurie Daly. It's post-first week of the rep round, so it's time for him to start really putting together his Origin team. And
yeah,
obviously Kevin Walters is new to the Origin arena in a head coaching role this year, but I think Daly still has more pressure on him than the rookie coach. So
yeah.
It's time for Daly to put together a team that he thinks that can win back the trophy again. Yep. And he's got a lot of choices to make. I think it's the fullback spots, the center spots, even one of the wing spots, the halves, the bench. There's so much to decide on, and I think these next two or three weeks is huge for Daly.
Yeah. We said earlier in the season that it was too early to speak about Origin, but the rep round's done, and now it's getting hot. It's heating up.
We're allowed to.
Yeah,
Daly holding it in for 9 weeks.
I think it's gonna be a big couple of weeks for him, definitely.
Yeah, it should be good. Okay, so moving on to fans' verdict for this week.
All right, we had some really good polls this week and some great responses. First up, which Parramatta player would you like to see at your club? So obviously with me shopped around, there's a few. The options we had is Kieran Foran, Corey Norman, Big Semi Radradra, or other.
Yeah, some big names there. Obviously, we've heard more recently that Pete's is looking like the one to go. I don't think anyone picked that. I think a lot of people thought that he was the future of Parramatta. He's a very exciting up-and-coming hooker. He's been there for a couple of years now, but he's talked as a future Origin hooker. Out of those, I'd go, it'd be a split for me between Foran and Radradra. He's something else. There's not many wingers in the game that compete with him, whereas Foran is just such a classy player. It's a tight one, but I'd go Foran.
Yeah, I think I'd go with Foran as well. I think he is just one of those players that gets the job done, you know, really doesn't cause too much problems. Like, he's been going through a hard time the past few weeks, and you really wouldn't know about it apart from what the newspaper has been showing. He's a professional player.
Yeah, he holds himself well.
Absolutely. So the fans, they agreed with us. They said Kieran Foran with 32%.
Mm.
Next up with Other with 27%. So obviously it could be anyone.
But, yeah.
You know, that's not that surprising. Big Semi was there with 25%. And then Corey Norman was 16%, which I don't think is that surprising. I think the result is what I expect.
Yeah, I mean, this one's obviously relying on which team you support. So some teams might not need a Kieran Foran, some might need a Semi Radradra, and some might not need a Radradra, then might need a Corey Norman. So, very much dependent on the team you follow.
Absolutely. So the next poll we had, would you pick Bryce Cartwright in your Origin team?
This one's so tough. I've been up and down about this all year. I mean, I was mostly probably down about this all year. I said for a while that I thought it was too early to bring him into the Origin arena. I still do think it is too early, but the nature of where we're at as New South Wales supporters means that we need to try something. And I'm starting to believe that maybe Bryce Cartwright is the kind of player we need coming off the bench for us.
Yeah.
If I had to say yes or no, I'm going to go with a yes.
Yeah, I'd have to go with a yes. A couple of weeks ago, I would have been a bit more iffy about it, but he can turn a game upside down just by his skill. He can do things that I don't think there's probably less than a handful of other players in the NRL that play second row that can do what he can do. He's a special player and he's only going to get better.
Yeah, but it's also one that if he doesn't get picked, I'm not going to be disappointed by him not getting picked because he will be there in the future.
Absolutely. So the fans agree quite largely as well, with 73% saying yes and 27% saying no.
Hmm.
So the next one we had was, which NRL personality would you like to see us have a chat with? The options we had was Vossi, The Mole, Aaron Mullen, and David Middleton.
Yeah, for me, Vossi for sure. I'm a huge fan of Vossi and have been for a long, long time. So it'd be great to get inside of that brain. He's known some great characters over the years and he's been all around the place. He's working for Fox Sports now. He's with Channel 9 for a long, long time. He used to have some amazing shows on Sundays, Boots and All. Was one of my favourites. I'd love to have a chat with Vossi. Whereas The Mole's an interesting one too. He's if you're not on Twitter, you might not know The Mole as well. He's very much a prominent rugby league personality on Twitter. And I think that explains him the best. He has a personality. There are a lot of journalists, they're just spewing information out. Whereas The Mole, he's definitely got a funny side to him.
He does. He likes a bit of banter.
Yeah.
Out of all those, you know, I love Vossi, definitely like
Aaron. What's going to happen here?
I'm going to go with Aaron Mullen.
Okay. Which,
yeah, sure. It's about there, but
you're trying to say I'm the sexist, aren't you?
Exactly. I can't blame JC. Mm. I just think that she's done something that I think is a tough thing to do. She's come into it very much a boys club on the footy show and things like that, and she's cemented the spot and she's done it very well. And I'd love to have a chat with her about her experiences doing that. If it was difficult or if everyone's been accepting or if she has faced some criticism. I know there was a while there where all I'd see is negative comments about her on like Twitter and things like that, but people are coming around. I think she's a great addition. You know, I really like her.
She would be great to chat to. I think the only reason I wouldn't have gone number one with Aaron is because we see her on the footy show. We see her on the radio a fair bit as well. We do hear a lot from her. So Vossi's someone that we obviously listen to, but there's not a lot of questions asked at him. I actually probably second of all would have gone David Middleton.
Yeah.
He's an interesting guy, isn't he? How does someone have that much information in his brain about rugby league?
I wouldn't even want to ask him like personal questions. I'd just ask him about a stat from like 10 years ago and just have him answer it. Just
trying to sting him on one.
Yeah.
And he's another guy that we don't hear a lot from. He's on the footy show every now and again, and we hear Rabs calling for him in the commentary box quite often. But we rarely get interviews with him or anything like that. So he'd be a great one to have a chat to, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So the fans, they agreed with you, with Vossi, 44%. They won the Mole next. Like, this was done on Twitter, so I'm guessing most people knew who the Mole was.
Yeah.
With 29%. Aaron Mullen was with 15%. And then David Middleton, the forgotten man, with 12%.
Oh. I'm glad he got a few votes.
Yeah.
Look, to be fair, there's probably a lot of rugby league fans out there that don't necessarily know who David Middleton is. And maybe that's the reason why we should have him on.
I feel like he was definitely publicised a lot more maybe 5-10 years ago.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
They spoke to him a lot more like during the game. And
yeah, he was on he used to be on the Footy Show a lot more. They used to have the, I don't know if it was called Mastermind or something like that on the Footy Show with Middleton. So he used to play a fan and see if the fan could beat him.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. So the final poll we have for the week goes back to Gus and Mal battle. Should Australia do a clean out before the next World Cup?
Personally, I don't think they need to do a large clean out. Maybe a smaller one. But no, not a large one. I think the World Cup's only next year, so it's not like it's a couple of years away. And the players and the likes of Thurston and Kevin Smith and whatnot will be retiring. And I think they'll still be around for a few years. So I think the integral part of the team will stay together. And I think there'll be a few new inclusions. Players like Bryce Cartwright might come into it. Your Moylands, your Coots, those kind of players, they might make their way in there. But the other thing to keep in mind is the World Cup squad is a lot larger than just a one-off game squad. So they'll get an extra, I don't know what it is, 6 or 7 players into the core squad. So we'll see some new blood.
Yeah, absolutely. I think really there's no need to do a full clean out, as you said. I think that 6, 7, and 9 combination, I don't think that's going anywhere anytime soon. I know all those guys are aging, but they've definitely got this World Cup in them.
Yeah.
I would like to see a bit of a shake-up in the forwards. I think that they are starting to age a little bit. You know, you've got Corey Parker and Sam Thaiday and people like that.
Yeah.
Are getting on.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. There's a couple of players there that I think are holding their spots due to previous
the
history.
They're still fine players, but yeah, it might be time to see what else we've got.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Numbers. Oh, sorry. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Well, sorry, we're done with that one. I jumped in there with a big.
No, I was all done. We're moving on to trivia.
Oh, do we give numbers?
Oh. Look at that. All right. So.
We need to know what the fans
think. It is fans' verdict.
Not Mac and JC's verdict.
So the fans agree with us. 74% said yes and 26% said no.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, actually, they disagree with us.
Yeah, they disagree.
Yeah, sorry, I'm all over the shop.
That's all right. All right, we'll move on to trivia where I can get embarrassed instead.
All right, that sounds good. All right. It was a bit of a hard one this week with the rep round. It's sort of focused a little bit on more so on that, but obviously there might be another one in there, here or there.
I can't say I watched a whole lot of the rep round this weekend, so I think I might get stung by a few questions.
We'll see. All right. 3, 2, 1. Who would you captain the Gillaroos?
Pass.
How many tries did City score?
8?
Yes. Who was the leading tackler in the Test match?
Gallen.
No. Who led the league in the line breaks? Who leads the league in line breaks at this point?
James Tedesco.
Which player had the most run meters in City vs Country?
Pass.
How many? Who captained the Gillaroos?
Was the first name Laura?
No. Who is the leading tackler in the Test match?
Ooh, that's so tough. Tamalolo.
No. Who leads the league in line breaks?
Pass.
Which player had the most run meters in City Country?
I don't know. Pass.
All right, let's. Gillaroo's captain?
No.
Right. Leading tackler, come on. No, I'll none of the guesses.
I have no idea.
That's tired.
I honestly can't. I can't even think of any players right now.
So you've done a bit of a Mac this week and you've got one.
Yeah, I think I've been spaced out from rugby league for a week now because I wasn't overly interested in the wrap round, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. So, who captained the Gillaroos? It was the oldest of the Sims, Enron Sims.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Hmm. Yeah, 34 years old.
Oh, wow, great.
Yeah, great player, though. How many tries did City score? That was the one you got with 8.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the leading tackler in the Test match? Cam Smith with 46.
Okay, yeah.
Who leads the league in line breaks? Jordan Rapana with 12.
Oh, okay. I guess he must have put on a few in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, just scoring tries with every line break as well. And which player had the most run meters in City vs Country? It was Josh Mansour with 200.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, good. Yeah. Good on him. Hopefully he keeps that up. Like to see him in the blue jersey in a few weeks.
Absolutely. All right, that's trivia done.
One. That's embarrassing.
Tell me about it.
I think we call that a Mac. I've done a Mac. All right, we'll move swiftly away from trivia this week. So we've got a James Soward interview coming up now. We'll be back straight after it.
This podcast is made possible thanks to our partners at LeagueFreak.com, the place for all things rugby league. LeagueFreak.com.
Now in his 12th season of the NRL, Jamie Soward has accomplished many feats in his career, including representing New South Wales in State of Origin and winning the 2010 Premiership with the Dragons. Now at Penrith, Jamie is hoping to bring the Panthers their first title since 2003. Hi Jamie, thanks for giving us some time tonight.
Yeah mate, yeah, it's fine.
We'll just jump into some questions.
Alright, thanks Jamie. So the first question is there a reason why you wear your headgear?
I actually enjoy wearing it, so Madison have been a sponsor of mine for nearly 11, 12 years now, so pretty lucky to have them as a sponsor. But yeah, I believe in, I'd always wear a gear whether I was sponsored or not.
Fair enough. So in 2013, you went over and played in the Super League mid-season. Was there a noticeable difference in the quality of the competitions?
Absolutely. So there's a number of players in the Panthers squad at the moment that are on the verge of an Origin debut. Is there anyone in particular that stands out to you that you'd like to see make their debut this year?
So on the topic of Origin, well, last year we saw Mick Annis make his return to the Blues after a long absence. Is Origin still a goal for you this year?
So you made regular appearances on radio and television. Do you see the media as something as a potential career for you after football?
We've seen a few seasons of the Auckland Nines now. As a player, do you enjoy the concept or do you think it adds to an already busy schedule?
Everyone's views are going to be different on that. I think personally it's exciting for the game season. As you get older, you probably realise the body doesn't recover as well as what it did when you were 20. So I think, you know, with Origin and rep footy at the end of most years, that and the nine sort of adds that risk factor of injury and stuff. And, you hate to lose a key player for the year or some of the year from a nines tournament. I mean, if it was in a trial, you could probably handle that a little bit better, but it's hard to take if you lose them in a nines game.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And what influence would you say Phil Gould has had on your career?
Yeah, Gus has been great. I met him first when I was at the Roosters in 2004. And obviously when I signed up with Penrith, we had a clear goal in mind of trying to get this next bunch of young blokes through into first grade. And we've done that pretty successfully, getting them into grade. Now it's about taking the next step this year and getting the whole club to be successful and get to the finals and hopefully give ourselves a chance of winning, you know, the whole thing. But after last year, it's important that, you know, we move forward as a club and the senior guys really stand up. And we have got a young side, but I think with that young side, you know, there's enthusiasm and a chance for us to go on and hopefully play some consistent footy throughout the year and get ourselves to the big dance in September.
Cool. So we've seen the introduction of the bunker and the shot clock this year. As a playmaker, have you found the shot clock makes it easier to attack the forward tiring at the end of the game?
No, the shot clock hasn't made any difference. I think it's just the, it's like saying the bedtime at 7:30. Being out of bed at quarter to 8, really. Just make sure you're getting to bed earlier. But I think, with the bunker, I think it's a great invention by the NRL. And, they've obviously put a lot of time and money into it. And you've seen that it's been successful for 90% of the time in the first month. But we need to be very careful that we're not just sending it up there because we're not sure. The point was made by Andrew Johns on the weekend that we're sending it up there thinking it's a try, even if we're not sure. If you're not sure about the try, then just send it up there and let them decide it in there rather than saying try or no try, because if it's not a try, on the weekend we had two players in a tackle. Now, if Jason Nightingale doesn't score, then they probably play on and the next players play on, but have a look at it and it took sort of 15, 16 years to see that there were two players in a tackle. Now, you haven't been able to take the ball off someone with two players in a tackle for 10 years, so if he hadn't sent that up no try, we would have got a penalty straight away, but he sent it up try and then they had that look to it, so...
Yeah,
I guess from that point of view, sometimes the common sense is frustrating as a player. The other instance was Friday night, Michael Morgan runs to the outside of the hole where the player had led, Ethan Lowe had led, and scores a try outside the defender, and it's no try. So that as a playmaker is confusing because it probably happened two or three times in the weekend and the ref just went up for a try, but because they went to the bunker, there was no try. So that gets frustrating as a player, but we've got to do better ourselves and make sure that we hopefully don't have those tight games and win, not having to go up there.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So the last question we have is, what are your thoughts on the Panthers letting go of Ivan Cleary? Did it come to a shock to the players?
That's 6 months ago now.
Yeah.
Gone through a whole pre-season. I think, Ivan was obviously a close mate of mine and a fantastic coach. And the thing is that, there's only 16 NRL jobs available. So when a coach goes, it's a pretty big splash in the water for media and stuff like that. But the players have to get on and move on with the job. And we're all thankful for Ivan and what he's done. And as for me personally, we've kept in touch and always said hello with each other and stuff. So there's no, the playing group was shocked, but we understand that it's a business. And it'd be no different if Ivan got a better offer and gone somewhere else to coach. We just have to accept that. So for us, it's a matter of we understand it's a business. And sometimes it doesn't work out the way you want it to, but Ivan's a fantastic coach. You only have to sit down and talk to him for 5 minutes and realise that once the coaching job comes up at the end of this year, which it inevitably will, he'll be one of the top people getting interviewed for that position.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. So we like to finish off our interviews just with a quick little game called This or That. I've got a list of items, two very similar items down the list, and you just say which one you prefer out of them.
Okay.
Halfback, 5'8".
5'8".
Xbox, PlayStation.
PlayStation.
Suburban ground or big stadium?
Suburban ground.
Hamish or Andy? Not a big third.
Not with the curly hair.
Play for New South Wales or Australia?
Australia.
Steve or Mark Waugh?
Steve.
Score the winning try or kick the winning goal?
Pass to score the winning try and then kick the winning goal.
Good answer. We'll end it there. Thanks a lot for some time tonight, Jamie. Really appreciate it. Yeah, good luck with the season ahead.
Cheers. Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks. All right, welcome back. We're going to jump into question time. I'll get Mac to kick things off.
All right, Dragons Raiders up first on Thursday night, which two teams you don't really see on primetime television that much, I don't think. So from these two teams, which players on the cusp of an origin berth need to have a big game in order to press their origin claims?
Well, from the Dragons, I mean, Dugan is most likely going to be there for Origin, but I still think he needs to do a little bit more, maybe just to cement his spot at fullback.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd like to see him at fullback, so he will be there. He will be in Lauradale's team, but I think if he plays really well at fullback, then that might just cement the number one jersey for him. From the Raiders, I've got a couple that are on the cusp. I'm not really too sure if they're going to get in with your Austin and Caesar. A lot of people are talking them up, but I don't think Daly is very keen on that idea. I'd love to see Austin have a great couple of weeks and maybe press for possibly a bench spot.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, those are three that I think would be pretty interesting to keep an eye out for.
Okay, what about Jared Croker? Do you think he's a chance at all?
No, I don't. I wish he was. I'm a huge, huge Jared Croker fan, but I just don't think he's a chance, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've got to agree. So, for the headline, I'm a bit of a Game of Thrones fan. So, so Daenerys disappointed as dragons foul the fire.
I like that. It's really good.
There you go.
Very topical.
Yeah.
Okay, with the next
Game of Thrones on the tag and get a million viewers.
Yeah, exactly. With the next game up, it's Eels versus Rabbitohs. Eels have had a lot of drama in the last week or so, and they've been in the headlines, but I've stayed away from them for the question. Inglis has been named at 5'8 for the Rabbitohs. Obviously, they need a little bit of a shake up with their team because they started the season well, but they've definitely fallen away in the last few weeks. Is that the right option to move Greg List Inglis to 5'8?
I don't know. I think it's a bizarre choice, really. I think he's you know, he gets involved sort of as a 5'8 a little bit when he plays fullback, but yeah, I think it's a weird one. It really is. I've got to be honest, I actually missed that on the team list. I did not notice that. Who's playing fullback for them?
They've got a guy that's put onto a few teams. Hunt, what's his first name?
Justin Hunt.
Justin Hunt, yeah. Okay. So he's come over from, I think it was at the Dragons last. He played for Parramatta and Rabbitohs, I think. So yeah, he's playing. Oh no, sorry. I think I might be thinking of another.
No, he's playing for the Tigers.
He's playing for the Tigers. Yeah, yeah. Who is it? Oh, sorry, it's Alex Johnson, of course.
Oh, okay.
Then
I really don't like that decision because I've seen Johnson play fullback in the past and he's
not phasing to power this time.
Yeah, true. That will help. I know, he just seems to lack a bit of consistency with positioning and things like that. But yeah, no.
It's an interesting one, yeah. But I mean, Inglis won a premiership at 5'8 with Melbourne, so it's not like he can't play the position. I guess it will get more ball in his hand. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know if he'll spend much of the game there. They got Keary on the bench, so he'll come on at some point and hopefully maybe inject a little bit of fire in the belly.
Yeah, very odd though.
I think with all the drama that's happened with the Eels, I think they'll band together and I think they're going to get a win. So I've gone for the headline. Eels score first win of 2016.
But will it count? That is the question.
Yes.
All right. Panthers Warriors up next. So there's some strong rumours this week that the Panthers are going to sign James Tarmo. Do you think that's a good move or a bad move?
I don't really like the sounds of it, to be honest with you. I like the Panthers pack at the moment. They've got some great up-and-coming players. We saw a couple of them play City Country on the weekend. So I don't think they need it. I don't think they need to be spending their money there. I think it could be much better spent in different areas.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems a bit odd, particularly like Campbell Gillard doing so well and Sam McKendry being a seasoned veteran these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so for the headline for that one, I've gone for Panthers defeat Warriors by 6 to secure biggest win of the season.
Mm.
Yeah.
So next one up is Storm Cowboys. This one is a battle of sevens. We've got Cooper Cronk versus Jonathan Thurston, arguably the two best halfbacks in the game. Which one is more integral to their team?
Mm. I don't know. I guess Thurston must be. Yeah. No, I'd go Thurston. I think you take him out of that team and they're going to struggle a lot. But
Yeah, I think it's a different question if you ask a few years ago, not mostly because I think Cooper Cronk had a bigger impact on the Storm a few years ago. I'd have to agree. I think JT is more integral.
I've still seen, you see the Storm without Cooper Cronk sometimes, and they really do, they struggle a little bit. They obviously miss him. So, I don't know, maybe he does have as much impact as Thurston, but we just don't notice it as much, right?
Yeah, I think Thurston. Well, for me, it's Thurston. I think he's the heart and soul of the Cowboys. They've got some great players around them, but, I mean, he really locks that team together.
Yeah, true.
I think this will be a really, really tight one. I'm just going to be psychic and guess that it's going to be a bit of a field goal-a-thon at the end, and there's going to be maybe a golden point play, and I've gone for JT gets last laugh.
Nice.
We all love JT's laugh.
Best laugh in the game.
So I'm imagining that headline with a nice picture of JT with mouth wide open laugh at me.
It brings happiness when you see that.
Oh, it's great.
All right, so Seagulls Broncos are up next. So given how many players are backing up for the Broncos, do you think they're in danger of conceding consecutive losses?
It's a good question. I actually didn't think about that with the test match. They did have a few players. I'd like to say yes, because they've been too good this year and they need to lose a couple more times. I don't think so. I don't think there'll be too much of a turnaround from that game. It wasn't the most high-intense game or anything like that. I think it was a pretty standard kind of game. Probably felt a little bit like an NRL game. So if they can back up week to week in the NRL season, I don't see why they can't after that dour effort on Friday night.
True. I like how mysteriously the Broncos have gone to playing Sunday games now that they have the schedule with the rep football.
Yeah.
It's, Holden, they need a bigger break. Yeah. Anyway, that's another topic altogether. So the headline I've gone for is Broncos players show no signs of fatigue in win.
Yeah. Okay, Knights and Sharks is up next. So another two halves, this time battling for origin spots, possibly, on the other side of the border, down south. Hodgkinson and Maloney, 5'8 and a halfback, but they may be battling for the halfback spot. Who would you pick?
That's a tough question. I'm a big fan of Hodgkinson. I think he's in a bad team this year, and it's not really his fault. Maloney's been in great form. But I think he still misses a lot of tackles. Whereas I think, Hodgkinson is just Mr. Consistency. He's going to do it. He's been there before and he's won. I'd go with Hodgkinson.
Yeah, I think with a player like Maloney, there's a number of 5'8s in the competition that can do what he does and play the style of play he plays.
Yeah.
He's in great form. There's no doubt about that. And he wouldn't look out of place in a Blues jersey. But there's not as many halves that can, I think, organise a team as well as Hodgkinson can.
Yeah.
I think I've said it on this podcast many a time that I think he's very underrated in what he does, Hodgkinson. You only need to look at how the Bulldogs are travelling this year to see how much of an impact he actually did have on that team and led that team through their forwards, which over the past couple of years, New South Wales have definitely done in the same way. They've got a big four-pack, New South Wales, and they definitely try and play through them. So I think Hodgkinson is perfectly suited for that. So I'd pick him. I think for some reason I've loved the Sharks having upsets this year, even though it hasn't really come true many times, but I'm going to pick another one. I'm going to get the Sharks over the Knights, and I've gone with the headline, Hodko's Heroes.
I like that a lot. That's really good. So we have the Tigers and the Bulldogs up next, and, we've heard about it in the newspaper that Hopewadi is not going to be playing Sundays. And he obviously isn't playing this week because he hasn't been named. What effect do you think this is going to have on the Bulldogs and the NRL with so many players saying they might follow suit?
Yeah, good question. The Bulldogs, first of all, it will have a big impact on the Bulldogs. Hopewadi's been very good for them this year. He wasn't great last game. Another thing that it's going to impact on, though, is that Perrott has been in fantastic form on the wing.
Yeah.
He's had his best season in possibly quite a few years. So I think they're definitely going to lose out not having him on the wing if Hasler does end up sticking with him at fullback.
Yeah.
So I think that will definitely be a big impact there. I think they can still put together a pretty solid team without him, but they'll definitely notice he's not there. In terms of players possibly looking to add that to their contract, they're going to have to be a fairly big name player to be able to convince a team to sign them and let them have multiple games off a year.
Yeah.
The Bulldogs are kind of lucky this year in the way that they only have 3 Sunday games and they just happen to all be in a row. There's a lot of teams out there that get a lot of Sunday games, and players wouldn't be able to negotiate that into their contract because they'd be playing half a season, and no team wants to sign a player that's only going to give them 12, 14 games a year.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so for the headline I've gone for, Bulldogs lose in lazy Sunday game.
So last game up this round is the Titans versus the Roosters. So the last week of the NRL, we saw the Roosters beat the Knights quite convincingly. It was Pierce and Hargraves' first game back. It's a bit hard to gauge how the Roosters looked, mostly because they were playing a very out-of-form Knights team. Titans have been playing much better this year. Is this week going to be a real chance to see what the Roosters are going to offer in 2016?
I think the Titans have been playing well, but I don't think they're the benchmark. Not the benchmark, but they're not even really at the average of the competition for this year. You know, I think there's other teams that would be able to benchmark the Roosters at full strength more than what the Titans would. So I'm going to say no. I think if they blow them out the way they did the Knights, then yeah, that's a very good sign that they're doing well. But yeah, I can't see it as a good gauging to determine if these players returning are making the Roosters have their comeback.
Yeah, I think the Titans have stuck it with some pretty good teams this year so far. They've had a couple of tight losses. So I think this will be a good chance to see what the Roosters are doing in 2016. They're not obviously playing the Cowboys and the Broncos, but they're playing a much better team this week. So I'm pretty interested to see how not only the Roosters can stand up, but also the Titans. I think the Titans will come away with this one, and we are very much favourites of alliteration on this podcast. I've gone with Titans triumph. Start that again. Titans triumph in tight tussle.
Wow, that's a good one.
So that's question time, Don.
There you go.
Forgot the name of the segment for a moment there. All right, so we'll jump into Who Am I? So for those playing at home that haven't heard this one before, I've picked either a player or a coach who has either played or coached over 100 first grade games, and they must have played or coached within the last 10 years. I'm going to give Mac 10 pieces of trivia about this player, and he's going to see how quickly he can get it. So I'll kick things off.
All right.
I played for 4 different clubs. I won a premiership midway through my career. I played for both my state and country. I was born in Queensland. I have played for 3 Queensland teams.
Oh, wow.
That's 5, so I'm just going to let that sit for a little bit.
All right, do you mind if I hear them again just quickly?
Sure. I played for 4 different clubs. I won a premiership midway through my career. I played for both my state and my country. I was born in Queensland. I played for 3 Queensland teams.
Wow.
Any guesses?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. I was injury prone early in my career. I was captain at 2 clubs that I played for.
Oh. We've got someone on the cusp, but I'm not sure.
No, don't want to set a new record?
No.
I played over 300 games. So that is 8. So if you want to set the new record, now's the time to do it. Think out loud. I'm not going to give away anything.
I was leaning heavily towards Scott Prince, but I don't think he played 300 games. I'm almost certain he didn't. I don't know if he played for Australia either. I'll keep on going with the clues.
Keep on going? Okay. I won Dally M Halfback of the Year in 2008.
Oh, okay. All right.
So to equal the record, we're on 9th question now. 9th piece of trivia now.
2008 Dalian halfback of the year, Queensland halfback.
Never said that.
Yeah, I know. But played for Queensland and Australia.
Let me know if you want the last one or not.
Yeah, I'm going to take it. What's the last one?
All right. I played halfback for the Titans in their inaugural season.
Damn it! Damn it! Are you Scott Prince?
I am Scott Prince.
I cannot believe. So he played 300 games.
He did. He played exactly 300 games.
Wow.
Yes.
I could have got that in six. I can... Oh. Who was the third Queensland club? Because that was the other thing that was throwing me off.
Titans, Cowboys and Broncos.
He played for the Cowboys.
He started his career with the Cowboys. He then went to the Broncos. He then went to the Tigers. He then went to the Gold Coast.
Oh.
And then he went back to Brisbane.
I cannot believe I didn't back myself.
Scott Prince, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I always remember the video of him breaking his leg and being consistently freaked out by it.
Twice, I believe, he broke his leg.
Oh.
Yes. Unlucky, but amazing to come back from that. I mean, that was quite early in his career, the first couple of years, and then he came back and he played for Queensland, Australia, won a premiership, captain two clubs. Okay. So, great career.
Yeah.
Always a very a favourite of mine.
Yeah, no, definitely. He seems like a really nice guy and just... very humble.
Yeah, no, he's great. Yeah. All right, so next week, I can try and beat my record. You'll have to wait a fortnight and see if you can try and set a new record. That's all right.
All right, yeah, that's okay.
Okay, that is the podcast done for this week, guys. So we'll be back for episode 12 next week. We hope you enjoy the NRL being back on this week.
Yeah.
And, we'll see you then.
Start tipping your State of Origin sides. It's now time.
You are now officially allowed to talk about State of Origin. We'll allow it. Thanks, guys. Make sure you give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Hit us up with any questions and give us a rate and review on iTunes. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
You've just listened to the Golden Point. Well done.